Hello, everybody, and welcome to a new week of Sean and Al's Wrestling Podcast. I have the great honor of doing an interview that I wanted to do from the first time I even imagined doing this show. A tremendous guest. It is the Cubs fan. His website can be found at thecubsfan.com/CMLL. And how are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I am doing great, and I just want to have this out there in the public for everyone to hear that the service that you do to English-speaking wrestling fans to help them understand this crazy world of Lucha Libre, and we could go on and on about everything that you do for wrestling fans, but just thank you so much. You're the man.
It's not a deal. I have to try to figure out how to understand it myself. And if I'm going to figure it out myself, I might as well share it with other people.
It is. You know, Lucha is fun because, you know, even though I read your site every day and I read The Observer, it's still like this kind of mysterious world compared to, you know, America. We know the WrestleMania main event 15 months ahead of time, and Japan's pretty predictable. Lucha is like the last frontier of kind of the old days of wrestling in a way.
Yeah, there's much more, I think there's less information available about Lucha, but it makes it more interesting in some ways. It's more like you've kind of got ideas of what they might be doing at times, but you're never quite sure until something happens.
Yeah, and it's fun, and I enjoy it, and I love it. So let me go ahead and just pick your brain. Like, this is like great for me. Why don't we just start with, I guess, the craziest thing going on right now out of many is the idea that LA Park could headline both Triple Mania and the anniversary show in mask matches. Can you just explain to our audience, to maybe some of the more casual fans, why this is insane?
This is equivalent to if someone a couple decades ago headlined WrestleMania for WWF and then a few months before was actually headlining Starrcade 2, except if Starrcade and WrestleMania came within a month of each other. It's unprecedented in modern wrestling. I think you really have to go back to like the 70s or 80s for a whole different system of wrestling where people can move around as easily as LA Park seems to be able to move around at the moment. It's crazy he's able to do it. It's also a bit crazy that it appears that CML is going to trust that AAA and LA Park aren't going to mess them up by blowing up their own big match three weeks before it happens. So there's a lot of moving pieces here.
So what's your prediction? Does it actually happen?
I think everyone wants it to happen. I think before last year, I would not have believed it would have happened at all. But I think Dr. Wagner getting a huge payoff was set to be $250,000 for losing his mask has just upped the value of everything and upped the possible payoff that everyone wants to not mess it up so they can get their own part of that payoff this year. So I think it's going to happen, but I would not bet my house on it.
Yeah, it's just, you know, so many crazy things have been happening in the wrestling industry, and CMLL was always my nice, predictable, by the book, you knew exactly what they were going to do. And even they're doing things that we didn't expect, like bringing back LA Park and Rush. Tell the audience about why LA Park and Rush in a anniversary main event would be epic, if you agree with me.
Yeah, I think it would be epic too, because earlier in this decade, while LA Park was still mostly an independent wrestler, he and Rush had some violent, just throw everything in the arena at each other while breaking the arena in small pieces matches. They eventually got to do one in Arena Mexico that was just amazingly good, but also so outside the bounds of what they allow in Arena Mexico that was the last match LA Park worked in the building for a couple of years.
Well, they stopped the match, right? Like in the office told the ref to stop the match, and the crowd looked like they were about to riot.
Yeah, the referee, because LA Park had picked up a Big Mel garbage can and threw it rush in the vicinity of the fans, where, like, if you missed, that could have gone very badly. They drew the match out at that point, and then Ali Park and Rush just kept fighting because they really just like to have their matches and like to fight.
I mean, that might
look like...
Oh, go ahead.
That looked like that was going to be the peak of it, but it was such an epic way to end the match, and it left people wanting to see so much more. It's kind of the... If we were still in the wrestling magazine era, that'd be the dream match they would be pushing on the front cover every 3 months about how people want to see it. It would still sell so many magazines because it was left at a high level and it was left unfinished. So everyone was hoping that one day we'd get to see it.
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody knows that I'm currently hosting another podcast with Jerry Jarrett about Memphis wrestling. So I love, like, the Memphis style of brawling. I love the ECW style. It was just, like, my thing when I was a teenager. And it seems like LA Park is, like, on this one-man campaign to keep that wild, out-of-control style of brawling of wrestling alive, whereas, you know, so many more brawls nowadays are just kind of choreographed stunt shows.
Right. He's a guy who started wrestling in the late 80s. So he's a throwback to a style that's really, that's the kind of wrestling that people aren't taught as much anymore because people aren't allowed to do it anymore. So he's the last of a dying generation. And Rush is a guy who would have probably been a lot more comfortable in the wrestling world. A couple of decades ago, where he could just go out there raw and bleed all the time instead of trying to do dives and trying to do cool moves. He's a more throwback wrestler with a great personality.
Yeah, let's talk about Rush, because for people who don't follow CMLL, this guy might be my favorite overall performer in the industry. Just in terms, he's really a throwback in the way that everything he does fits his persona and his character. And, I don't know. What are your opinions on Rush as a performer nowadays? I know everybody agrees he's got the great charisma, but sometimes it seems like you're a little negative on his matches, that he's kind of just sticking to formula and not deviating.
I think he's such a great, arrogant, vicious character when he wants to be, that you can see that the potential for him to be a world-class heel. He's also one who needs to have the big matches or something that gets to him to really get his full potential. If he's just doing matches for matches, he's not the guy he's not Bolinar or Titan who's going to do some spectacular moves in every match, even if it's just a match. He's the guy who needs to feel the match to really have it. But when he does, he can put out some excellent performances.
And, I mean, do you think it's for sure that LA Park does lose the mask in the next few months, or do they drag it out like they did with Atlantis and Ultimo Guerrero for 2 years?
I think it's most likely, because we're all afraid right now that he's not going to last 3 months and then lose his mask and something will go wrong and the opportunity will go away from him. I think he knows that too. And he knows that if he risks waiting another year, who knows what could happen next between now and then. If maybe now he has two promotions when to use them, maybe next year something will happen, they'll have zero, so that's a big risk. But I also can't rule out that whoever loses the anniversary match is going to get a huge payday, and whoever loses the Triple Mania match is going to get a huge payday. So it could be that other people want to take advantage of getting that payday, because they might not be able to get that against someone else. Like, there's no, outside of Atlantis, there's no big opponent for Rush left if he beats LA Park. And on their own, some of those AAA guys will not be able to fill up that same arena without some sort of legendary guy like Wagner or Park to go against in the Triple Mania main event. So it's a good opportunity for someone else to make some money if Park decides that he wants to wait.
And, you know, we did have that Atlantis Ultimo Guerrero match a few years ago that I think still holds the gate record for Arena Mexico and was just this massive thing. Do you think this match would be a similar attraction in terms of interest in Mexico?
Yeah, I think so. I think whenever they built from the first year where they teased it to the year where they actually did Ultimo Guerrero versus Atlantis to the third year with Sombra and Atlantis, they raised their prices each time. They still sold out most, if not all, the seats. So I think this was probably going to be the most expensive seat, most expensive ticket for Arena Mexico show, and I think they'll still either fill the building or come close to it. So it'll probably be the biggest gate for that building. I know Triple Mania has its highest prices ever, so it'll be the biggest gate for AAA as well.
I mean, I want to go, and we might talk about that off the air. I want to. I've never been to Arena Mexico, and the idea of an LA Park Rush, a place does match, hair versus mask at the anniversary show is just like wrestling history, which hopefully we're conveying to everybody if they're not familiar with the lucha world. So, and it's not just LA Park that CMLL is opening up on. I believe is it Sophia Alonso? Is she the one who's kind of taken on more of a role? And if so, is she the one who's kind of opening up things for the company?
Sophia Alonso, the daughter of the current boss, Paco Alonso of CML. It's a whole family or a company, so there's other family people involved. She's become the public face of the company over the last year, in the same way that Stephanie McMahon is now the WWE's chief brand officer who represents them at conferences and meetings and such. I think, like Stephanie McMahon, some of what Sophia Alonso is doing is more a public relations kind of an image on the company and less about what the creative decisions are day to day. I think she's probably helping push for some of the innovation stuff, but I don't think she's the primary driving factor behind all of it.
So what do you think is, because I mean, for so many years, CMLL was just, they just did their thing and didn't change. And it's not like there's been this crash in business recently or something that's requiring them to open up to work with people like LA Park and Rey Fénix and Penta. Where do you think this is coming from?
I believe it's the wrestlers themselves trying to able to persuade the management and the people in charge of putting together the matches that they would like. They've been facing some of these guys on indie shows, but CML is a weird structure where their contracted talent is allowed to work on even like a small level indie show with indie wrestlers or a medium show as long as they CML gets some money for that appearance. And so that's allowed like the Voladors and the Rushes to face the LA Parks and Rey Fénixes and even Penta Zero LMAs on their own. And so they know how good these guys are, and they know that they would help them if they brought them aboard. It's just a matter of enough of them doing enough work to convince the people in charge that they wouldn't make a difference in some sort of guest appearances. And so far, it looks like they're right.
Yeah, it looks like the houses have been very good the last few weeks with this feud. Again, kind of going back to the theme of CMLL being this world that confuses me, and I want to ask you questions. They had me excited there. There was like a couple week period where Volador and Mystico were kind of acting like Rudos, and it seemed like they were teasing Mystico Caristico match, but now that seems dropped. What happened there?
I think it's just one of those things where they like to test out different directions for short programs, and then they don't, but with no intention to really pursue them, but just to find something to do for that month or those few weeks. With the Crisco thing in particular, though, it seems like they're using that in the same way that they're using bringing in outside stars for Friday shows. They're not going to bring in a Rey Fénix to work a small show in Guadalajara on a random Tuesday. But this Tuesday, they're doing that Crisco versus Mystico match again because that's something different, and they know that they can get the fans to get into it. And I think it's kind of part of the idea of trying different things, maybe not always sticking with them, but giving kind of do a more variety of matches just instead of the same rivalries.
Do you think we ever will get that ultimate match of the original legendary Mystico? So, and if people don't know, he had like a Steve Austin type run in the mid 2000s against the guy who is the current Mystico. Will we ever get that dream match?
I think we will get that a singles non-stipulation match in Arena Mexico at some point because they've done it. They're doing enough that I think they'll eventually bring it there. But the problem with doing the mask match is I don't think they want their replacement Mysco to lose, but he's also not a big enough star where that's going to really work in his favor to win that match or be worth the price it would take to get Crisco to lose this mask. So I think they just don't have a finish to that match, and that's going to stop them from doing it.
Which is another fascinating thing about Lucha, is that we still kind of live in this world where, yeah, there's matches where we can't agree on a finish, where it's with WWE, it's just whatever Vince says or you're fired. Okay, here's just a random thing. We had a little Cranio push there for a couple weeks, and I've always been a fan of this guy. For people who don't know him, he's a really big guy, but pretty athletic, and I've always enjoyed him as a worker, and he was in some main events working with Rush. Is that going to continue?
I think it was just a short-term thing, maybe Rush doing a favor to helping guys that management like and to help to grease the skids to get LA Park in. If you put over this guy, then maybe they would give him a chance what he wanted to do. And I think it's also, obviously, Brazo La Plata, Super Perky, hasn't been around for a while and probably won't return because he's had a serious leg injury that he's just not be able to get fixed. And Marco Corleone, who's technically the heavyweight champion, who was also a big fan favorite for his wrestling style, for being just kind of a little bit of comedy, but also a guy who could punch people in the face a lot, isn't in CML anymore. And I'm not sure if or when he's coming back. So I think they wanted a new heavyweight who was over on the technical side and decided that they need to give Cranio a few big wins and some more spotlight to get him to that role.
What is Corleone up to nowadays?
He is, judging from the social media, he's back in New York. And I think he changed some of his things that are back calling himself Mark Jindrak instead of Marco Corleone. So I do not know if he's coming back or when he's coming, or what they're going to end up doing with the heavyweight title. They wrote him off with an arm injury, but it doesn't seem like he needed that surgery or anything. It was just like a way to explain why he wasn't around.
And what do you think of these young Dinamitas who, and I apologize in this interview for my attempts at Spanish accents. I actually have a grandmother who was Puerto Rican, and my dad was raised in a Spanish-speaking household, and he just groans every time I try. So I apologize. But this young trios group that is, according to Dave Meltzer, being groomed to take over for Ultimo Guerrero's group, how do you think they're doing?
I think Sansón, Cartero, and Forcero are really fun. I think they've been pushed so hard that in trios, they may be slightly overexposed, or they just need some different opponents as they run the same opponents a few times. But whenever they have matches, especially on Friday nights, they are very popular with the Rudo fans. They work really well together as a team, which sometimes you see these team trios that seem all put together where it just comes off as more three individuals who happen to be in the same match. But the Nueve Generation Dinamitas have just a lot of cool team moves that they pull together. They're really a unit that I would like to see more internationally, whether it be New Japan or Ring of Honor, so other people get exposure to what they can do, what they've learned from the last couple of years of working together, and then they can improve by facing some new opponents.
And how about Audaz, a very young starter that it seems like the company is very high on?
Yeah, he's just an incredibly agile flyer who can do more things just with the ropes than most people can do at all in the ring. His ability to move around in the ring is the only person who comes close to him is Brad Metallic and Esper Dorada. What he can do and what he's shown just in like a year of being regularly used is just amazing. I think he still seems pretty new, and they still haven't given him a big singles match on a televised show. So we don't know all of he can do, or if he's just being kind of protected by being in these trios matches. But I think whether it's this coming January or the year after that, whenever he makes his first appearance on that Fantastic Mania tour, I think he's really going to blow people away.
And to kind of wrap up the CML part of this discussion, can you just tell us about going to Arena Mexico and what's that is like? Because I really want to do it in a couple months here.
It's just a great atmosphere. It's especially for the Friday night show. I've been to the Tuesday and the Sunday shows, and when there's not as many people and the matches are kind of a little bit not as good, it does feel like a big building that's kind of a little empty. But when you have the big show, which is it's incredible. It's like going to any sporting event. I've been to Chicago Bulls playoff games, and it's when it's close and it's late and everyone's excited and into every time up and down the court, it's a very incredible feeling. And when it's close and it's late and each pin ball seems like it could end someone's mass career, it's also an incredible feeling in Marina, Mexico.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything in wrestling quite like a big masked match at Arena Mexico and just the emotion involved. And we've seen some great ones over the last few years. So I'll be
Yeah,
honest. Oh, go ahead.
it's those mask matches are really the big difference in Lucha Libre versus everyone else, because people can win the titles, and sometimes it's very, very meaningful when someone finally wins the title for the first time, as people might have seen on the day we're recording this. But the mask stuff means something forever, especially when it's a legendary mask or the guy who's been a top star for a long time. So it's something unlike any other type of wrestling has to offer.
Yeah, there's just like a level of emotional depth, and I know people are gonna like make fun of me for talking this way about pro wrestling, but it's true. Like when you see, Atlantis beating Ultimo Guerrero, and Ultimo Guerrero taking his mask off, or La Sombra and his whole family there, and the shots of his family in the crowd during the match, it just reaches a level of emotion and storytelling that really you can't find in any other professional wrestling. So, to be honest with you, I'm really a big CMLL guy. AAA, I don't follow quite as closely, so I'm going to need you to guide me here. Jeff Jarrett is the champion now?
Yeah, it's amazing coincidence that Conan came back and Jarrett, his good friend who he likes to use on all these shows, is suddenly the champion. It's been a really weird for AAA because the first 3 months were run by, you could tell creatively the big decisions were made by Vampiro, and it was really boring for the most part. And they had also run off so many people because of decisions Vampiro and ownership had made that they really couldn't put on good shows if they wanted to, because they were just didn't have enough good people. And Conan's been back since the middle of April, and all of a sudden they have at least one like excellent match in every show. And they also have weird guest stars like Jeff Jarrett coming back, because Conan's a big believer in the foreign heel who can get the Mexicans mad at him. And Jeff can't really do it in the ring anymore, but he can still get people mad at him pretty easily.
Yeah, what is Conan's role in the industry right now? It seems like he has himself involved in a bunch of different things.
Yeah, he is the creative person in charge for AAA. He's the creative person in charge for Era Lucha, the promotion that's starting up, that's trying to do some stuff in Nashville. And he's also seems like he's got relationships with, he works in Impact, and I don't think he has an official creative job there, but he's Conan, so he's probably has some influence on what he does. And there's like promotions that he's friends with, like MLW, where he's probably not there officially, but he's probably also good friends with the people running it. And I'm sure there's other ones like that too.
Yeah, he's impressive. He's like another old school guy who's kind of doing his own thing and making it work. What did you think of the big summer AAA show, Verano de Escandalo, I believe it's called?
It was enjoyable. I mean, I was really strongly against the idea of Jeff Jarrett being champion, because I think AAA has the route where they can go, where they can't be New Japan, but they can be a great mass promotion if they wanted to, if they put their people in the right positions. And Jeff Jarrett as champion is just kind of the antithesis of that. But they set up, they continued the run of really of putting indie talent in the openers for great matches. They had some other good stuff throughout the show. I think with AAA, you're going to have really high. This used to be the big difference between the two shows, especially when Conan was in charge, is with CML, it's kind of usually a level playing going up a little bit or going down a little bit. With AAA, you get really high peaks and really low valleys. And that show had some of both.
And I can't believe it took this long for me to get to this. Just had a brain cramp. They have a hold on Madison Square Garden to run a date.
Yeah.
Like, can you explain that situation to me?
They have a date on Madison Square Garden. We do not know what date it is. My guess it would be most sense to be September 16th, since that's Mexican Independence Day. and that's a Sunday, and I don't think anyone, I think when I last checked their schedule, no one was running that day. But that would, the idea behind it is that they're going to get a TV or radio station in the area to heavily promote the show and probably also sponsor and pay for a show. So maybe it'll work like how radio stations will sponsor a concert and give away a whole bunch of tickets and promote it for 2 months. And then AAA doesn't really, AAA gets the benefit of getting their people on there, but doesn't take the hit of paying for it. But still, AAA has no TV in the U.S. right now. It has no English language promotion at all. It's got some visible start, but most of the visible stars are the guest people who aren't really there full time. So I think it's not a terrible idea if they get someone to pay for it, but there's like 100 more things that you should probably put on the priority list ahead of it.
I mean, again, you know, the theme of 2018 pro wrestling is that things are just crazy. The idea that the first non-McMahon family wrestling show at Madison Square Garden in 50 years or whatever is going to be from AAA. I did not see that curveball coming.
The other thing is AAA, and AAA has a reputation, especially, again, with Conan involved, where they see the U.S. as a big money tree that they can shake and just pay for and just double or triple their revenue. But they also never seem to be able to put together deals to actually run the U.S. They talk about them a lot, but one thing or another thing happens, and they never come to completion. So until there's actually a date announced, it's tough to pay too much attention to this.
Yeah, I feel like we've been talking about AAA finally succeeding in the U.S. since, you know, 93, basically. Yeah. It's been an ongoing effort that hasn't materialized yet.
The closest thing they pulled off is it was the early 2000s where they did run a few shows in the U.S. in big arenas on the West Coast, where it was a similar thing where they had a cheese seller being their primary sponsor and taking the big hit on the shows. But the shows weren't really good and they didn't draw well. So if they try this again, they're going to have to try something a little bit different.
And we do live in this time that's interesting where there's so many hardcore fans now on the internet who are willing to seek things out. And the crazy success of like these New Japan instant sellouts that they've had, you know, 3,000 or 4,000 people here in America. Why is it that Lucha seems to have a harder time, even though it shares a border with us and CMLL streams for free? Why does it have a harder time connecting with the audience here?
I think, even this year, AAA is streaming for free too. So it's like, it should be easy for people to dive in. But I think the problem is that what we've seen with New Japan, as much as the really great matches have helped them, having English-speaking stars who are marketing themselves directly to English-speaking fans is a big difference maker. I think you need to have people that the fans understand and who help them follow the action or get invested in one character or another. In some ways, bringing back the Ray Fink or Penta helps with that, but I think you need to make it simple for people to follow your promotion, or they'll take something that's not as good if it's easier to understand. And I think with so many wrestling options out there, it's tough to have the general public make a attempt to follow something if it's going to be a difficulty in doing so.
Yeah, I think there really is an opportunity right now. It's like the whole world is kind of discovering how awesome wrestling is. You know, there's these, you know, New Japan having such great success in the U.S. and the Fox Network giving WWE $200 million for SmackDown. It's like pro wrestling is kind of in right now in a certain way. And you have places like Reddit where there's just tens of thousands of hardcore fans who are willing to seek stuff out online. So it seems like this really is the time. Lucha's awesome. It should have a presence in America more than it does.
Yeah, I really, you know, in a world where everything is equal, I'd really wish they would spend whatever attention and time they're spending on this Madison Square Garden show on doing some English support for their promotion, just pumping things out to make it easier for people to follow this promotion. And I think in the long term, doing something like that would have a bigger effect and a bigger positive effect than even if they did a decent sized show in New York.
Another guy who is appear in a lot of places. We just saw him at Dominion. Rey Mysterio Jr., what do you see for him going forward?
I think because he has that close connection with Conan, I would expect that he'll probably continue to make an appearance here or there in Mexico, in Chile, while he's still willing to wrestle and while he hasn't gone back to WWE. I'm sure they'll find a way to include him on Triple Mania if he wants to be there, and maybe some other shows. But the strange thing is that he's also currently the heavyweight champion for the Crash promotion, which was where Conan was working with, and where Conan has seemingly stole half their undercard to come to AAA with him. So I don't know if that's going to be a long-term thing where he's going to work with both promotions, but I think he's going to continue to get work all over Mexico as long as he wants to keep getting work.
Yeah, Crash is the third promotion that you hear about nowadays, and I gotta be honest, I'm not super familiar with a lot of their stuff. How are they doing?
They're still drawing well in Tijuana, but they had great aspirations of being a national third promotion. Those seem to have gone out the door as last year ended. They were able to run a good, well-attended show in New Orleans as WrestleMania weekend, but because, as we talked about, AAA streaming, CML streaming, The Crash is or was taping the shows, but they're not putting them anywhere. So only the hardest of the hardcore are searching out handhelds of their action. And I think that stymied their growth and made it so that it wasn't as attractive a place to work for when AAA came calling. I think they're still going to do fine in their home area, but I think they're also going to suffer from it. They seem to be already suffering from the talent drain, which means they're bringing in more people from the U.S., which means the shows are going to be less profitable. And I think they can still be around for a while, but I don't think they're going to grow the way everyone thought they might once.
Let's just finish here. I have two kind of general questions for you to summarize things. First off, how do you just view the overall health of the lucha scene in Mexico right now in kind of a historical context? How's the industry doing?
It's not the peaks it was at the height of the last boom with Mexico and with Cybernetico being a hot thing in AAA, but obviously it's on the biggest upswing it's been in a few years, because I think the talent moving around, as we saw in WWE and WCW back in the day, the talent moving around helps freshen things up and helps get people's interest up. So short term, I think everything is going up. I think we'll know a lot more long term about how things are going after the summer's over. I think the biggest problem long term is that a lot of the older veterans who have been big stars for this part of a decade, the LA Parks, the Dr. Wagner's, the Atlantis's, the Negro Casas, have had remarkable long careers, but they're also near the end of those careers, and there's not a great group of guys. They're current stars, but once you lose those legends, it's going to be tough to replace those guys.
Why is it that these young guys aren't viewed in the same way as those legends? Is it TV exposure in Mexico?
I think, yeah, TV exposure, I think, is a good reason. I think it's just a length of time. I think it's belonging to a previous era where fans believed in these guys a little bit more and they were just treated as bigger stars. But I think that unless they get that same sort of level of exposure, it's not going to be a drop down, but I think it's going to be maybe the same kind of thing that New Japan had after they had their big 90 stars all start to disappear and they had to rebuild again.
And lastly, and perhaps most importantly, can you back me up on what I try to preach to people and so many people are unaware of, that Negro Casas is the greatest professional wrestler of all time?
Yes, because he's been so good for such a long time. He's a guy who was really great in the mid-1980s, and he was a guy who is still great today. Just if you saw his work with Rey Fénix last night in Arena Mexico, it was just incredible work. It's incredible exchanges with a guy he had never worked with before. He's been consistently one of the best workers in his country for a very, very long time, and he's done well wherever he's gone.
You know, I wasn't planning on spending a ton of time on Negro Casas, but I'm now realizing that there's really no other opportunity I'm going to have to talk about this. So let's talk about Negro Casas, because you are right, a 30-year sustained run of excellence with amazing peaks. You know, maybe his best singles matches don't compare to the best All Japan matches of the 90s, but the fact that we can watch something from 87 like him and Hijo del Santo in Los Angeles, and 30 years later, he's 58 years old and he's in there with these young guys who are flying around and he's just defying the laws of aging.
Yeah, I think he works to keep himself in incredible shape, which I think helps him, has helped him keep going. But I think he's also a guy who was very smart at figuring out what to do and what would get a reaction from the crowd and how he could get the crowd to do stuff without even doing moves, just making facial expressions or making movements from a very early age. And he's been able to get on the fan side, get behind him when he needs to, and being a great Rudo and great heel when the time calls for it. He's a guy who really doesn't do a wide variety of moves, even when he was younger, but he always figured out ways to arrange them to get the most out of everything that he was doing. That's really helped his career go so long.
Yeah, he has such a unique style in Lucha. He's like a Japanese wrestler that exists in Lucha Libre. I think Riki Choshu was like an idol of his, right?
Yes, definitely. And this guy who's modeled himself after kind of his word and gear that resembles Choshu. So I think he's done a good job of being an early guy, finding stuff that worked elsewhere and applying it to the style that he does. That I think a lot of people are trying to do today.
Give us like a top, you know, one or two Negro Casas matches that people should find on YouTube.
I just feel like any Negro Casas match you can find with Hijo del Santo, or you're just in a good shape, whether it's him as those two as opponents, or when they were as tag partners in the early 2000s, which were the matches that really got me into following Lucha. They had a great series of matches of Casas and Santo versus Ultimo Guerrero and Rey Bucanero that still really hold up to the day.
Oh, yeah.
I'd recommend anyone seeking those out and finding them.
You know what? Yeah, we might have you on again and just spend like an hour on Negro Casas and properly documenting that man, because I truly do believe that he is the greatest wrestler in pro wrestling history, and I've watched a ton of wrestling, and it's very hard for me to say that there's a greatest match of all time, a greatest promotion of all time, a greatest interview of all time, but I really do believe this man clearly is the greatest pro wrestler of all time.
Yeah, and that's even saying that most of his early years were in the UWA or in EML before they were even getting TV. I wonder.
That kills me.
A chance to go look back at his early starts and see how those compared to today.
Yeah, that kills me that we don't have that footage of 87 through 91, because the stuff that shows up, he's amazing. And anyways. That will we'll let you go here. So again, thank you so much for joining us. You can find the Cubs Fan at thecubsfan.com/CMLL. You have that 2017 abstract out. Why don't you tell us about that before we sign off?
Yeah, it was a project I decided to do this year. I'd been doing bits and pieces of it for other people, so I decided to do a more complete version myself. It was a look back at everyone who had more than two matches in CML and AAA, and what their 2017 was like, and what their prospects are for the future, and with essays about the year that was in for both of those promotions and some other people around Mexico. I may be doing one again this year, but I think it's also going to be useful as something just to look back to see where we were at that point. And I offered it for free on PayHip. I have a link somewhere on my website to it, but it's a thing where you can download it, take a look at it, and then go back and pay whatever you want for it if you think it's worth paying for.
Yeah, which is so cool of you. I can tell you that I did pay for it because I have just massive appreciation for everything you've done for us Americans trying to watch Lucha. I mean, back in the day before there were streams, all the things you were doing to get the YouTube videos up and keeping us in touch with everything. So I recommend people do go and purchase that, or not purchase it, but read it and donate. So thank you so much for your time today, sir.
Not a problem.
All right. So thanks so much to the Cubs Fan for joining us today to talk about all the crazy things happening in Lucha Libre. Tonight we've got LA Park and Rush. Enjoy it. We'll be back in a few days with Sean and Al breaking down the wrestling scene. Thank you so much.